blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 249, stanzas 1 and 5. Because thy trust is God alone, and thy refuge is the highest one. No evil shall upon thee come, nor plague approach thy guarded home. 1 and 5 of Psalter 249.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But let us first read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake, For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we try to draw nigh unto thee once again in the afternoon hour of this thy holy day. And thou dost give us thy holy word. Thou dost admonish us therein. But we have heard also in these moments and that thou dost also give an example. O thou makest an example of others, that it might be a profit unto us. O thou most sovereign, who doest thine own good pleasure in and from the heavens, and upon this thy own earth, O thou who bringest everything to pass according to thine own good pleasure, we beseech thee, and that thou wouldest also look upon us from heaven, thy dwelling place, and that thou may come with thy Spirit, Lord, in the heart of each and every one of us. We have no heart to understand, no eyes to see. Oh, we have no ears to hear thy holy word by nature. We are so hard-hearted and cold-hearted and carnal-hearted. Oh, there is in us either deadness or death. Oh, Lord, we need to be quickened. We need to be made alive. That thy word, which is quick and powerful in the hands of thy Holy Spirit, and may also be brought with power in the heart of each and every one of us. For examples also we are given, also another one in the midst of us, an example. O Lord, thou hast spared that life, but in other congregations they must go unto the grave. They must bury their sons and their daughters. O Lord, that thou may look upon us and give also these examples to be heeded in our life. O, we go forward with such ease in such a serious life because we have a soul that is traveling to a never-ending eternity, and we do not know the moment that we will be cut off from this life and enter into that eternal abode. O Lord, we need to be given life in our souls that hungers and that thirsts. O, we need to be given a heart that desires to escape for our life, to hasten for our life's sake. O, we are those who are so slothful in our unbelief and in our deadness. We do not believe the truth of thy holy word, but it is shown unto us continually, day by day in our lives all around us. Oh, that we may be given to take heed, Lord. Wilt thou stop us in our mad career? Grant us to turn again with all our heart unto thee who dost grant us warnings and callings in great abundance. Look upon us in this thy holy day. O Lord, it is once again that thy word is to go forth when thou wilt give it in this afternoon hour. O, we beseech thee for thy presence and for the working of thy most holy Spirit. O, thou didst move, Lord, upon the waters in the creation and with thy Spirit. Thou didst trouble the waters that pool wherein men could be cured of their temporal diseases. O Lord, we beseech thee, wilt thou come and move with thy Spirit also in this thy holy day in the midst of us as a congregation. And we are not worthy of the least of all thy notice or thy attention. We are worthy that thou wouldest depart from us, because our sins rise up against us, prevailing day by day. Oh, but wilt thou show us mercy and take them all away? Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, for thy presence and for thy nearness and for thy grace and for thy mercy in this day. Ah, that thou may come and magnify and glorify thy dear Son in the hearts of each and every one of us. O Lord, not one or two. Ah, thou art a great God, and that thou art able to do great things. Oh, we need a revival, Lord. We need thy Spirit to go out with much power. Oh, we cannot give one man an understanding heart. Oh, we cannot give one tear in the eye and in the heart to weep. Lord, thou art able to make every one of us to weep. And thou art able to bring all of us together in true contrition before thee. Oh, thou art able to give us all new life from the youngest to the oldest, because thou art almighty and thou art all powerful. And thou hast the means in thy hand that thou usest. Oh, could it be, Lord, as a little tool in this afternoon, that we may be thy mouthpiece to speak thy holy word, that there may be jealousy born in our hearts. Oh, when we must confess, as we have done so many in the week gone by, that we do miss the most necessary thing that we need to know, to live in comfort and to die in peace. O Lord, then we beseech thee, because it is an urgent matter, because they are souls that are traveling to a never-ending eternity. And thou hast said that we ought to seek the profit of one another. O Lord, we beseech thee then, that thou may come and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Oh, that thou would speak in the midst of us, Lord. Take reasons out of thy dear Son. What can we say to thee? Only that he is worthy. He is worthy of all the honor and all the glory. Oh, he is worthy to be magnified for all that he has done upon that cursed tree. O Lord, has he not fulfilled everything that thou didst covenant with him to do, that he may take away all the iniquity and all the sin of thy own church? O, is he not worthy of a great multitude of subjects, Lord? Thou hast promised it to him, and that thou wouldst give it unto him. O, could it please thee to give us to him, to give our children to him, our loved ones, each and every one of us. Oh, that we might love him, that we might follow him, that we may adore him. And with all our hearts, Lord, that we might magnify thy own great and thrice worthy holy name. Oh, that it might be beginning in this time and extending to all eternity, that thy glory, that it might be raised up in this world, and when thou wilt make a new heavens and a new earth one day, oh, that we with our children may be therein, to so magnify and to glorify thee, all that thou art, O Lord, all thy blessed attributes,
That we may be given a little eye to behold them. That we might be given a heart to bow. That we may be given true humility in the dust of self-abasement this day. Bring us there, Lord. May it be for the first time. May it be by renewal. It is all coming from Thee. We can give nothing unto ourselves, and we can only destroy everything that Thou givest to us. But, O Thou maintainer of Thy own work, remember Thy dear children. Give them, Lord, that true and blessed faith and exercise, that it may also magnify Thee, and that their souls may be comforted. Look upon us in mercy, O Lord, as a congregation, both young and old. Look on our children. Look upon the youth. Care for them. Our school. All those that labor therein, our school board. Give them wisdom in all the decisions that they must make. May it be also our teachers who must stand day by day before our children. Give them that tender fear of Thy most holy name. And our parents, and when they are setting that example and instructing their children in their own homes, O Lord, give them that daily tender fear of Thee, when they must set an example also before the children. O look then upon us, young and old, to gather those that have no children, those that have difficulties with children, those that have children in the womb. Lord, care for each and every one, and also those who have difficulties of mind and body, old age, frailty, and also that are torn by addictions. Lord, Thou knowest where that they suffer. Make it truly a soul suffering, and bless all those things. For the good of the souls traveling upon our short journey to meet Thee. Look upon us, O Lord, we beseech Thee, our whole denomination, the countries wherein that we do live, the beloved for the Father's sakes. Lord, Thou knowest what takes place in these days. O Lord, wilt Thou stand above it in Thy mercy and make it well with Thy people. Oh, break their own hearts before Thee, for Thy goodness, and may it bring them to acknowledge Thy dear and only begotten Son, that they might have peace not only here upon this world, but that they might find that peace for their souls, which they cannot find outside of Him who is the peace of His people. Lord, remember us then in this afternoon. Help us to bring Thy word. Help us to listen. Keep us awake, Lord, because Thou knowest how that so many things can come in the way. Take away then all drowsiness. Take away all the thoughts and the cares of this time, and give us to see the beauty of Thy dear Son, of Thy blessed service, and of Thy own covenant. Forgive, oh, forgive, Lord. Take it all away, all of our sin and all of our sinfulness. We ask it for the sake of Thy dear and only begotten and beloved Son, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 298, My Steadfast Heart, O God, and we'll sound Thy praise abroad with tuneful string. The dawn shall hear my song, Thy praise I will prolong, and where Thy people throng, thanksgiving bring. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 298.
Beloved congregation, Solomon writes, God hath made everything beautiful in his time. Beautiful. Beauty is perceived when purpose is fulfilled. Thus, Solomon even speaks about afflictions. He speaks about travail, that can be beautiful because men are exercised in it. And then it reaches the end for which it was given. To watch a greyhound run, Solomon says, that is beautiful. Solomon says he is comely in going. He says he goes well. That is pleasant. That is delightful. That is what a greyhound has been created to do. And when he does what he is created to do, then there is a beauty in it. A king, Solomon says, against whom none are able to rise up, who scattereth away all evil with his eyes. That is beautiful. That is pleasant. That is what a king is for. That is why his office was instituted. And when a king is weak, like Ahab, who could not even reign over his own wife, then we say he has lost all of the beauty of his kingship. He is like a greyhound, children, that is sick, like a greyhound who is not able to run. How beautiful is faith in the strength of its exercises. How beautiful was David when he was approaching unto Goliath with a sling and 5 stones. Say, what makes that in our eyes so beautiful? Saul says to Abner, inquire whose son the stripling is. Even such a man, a wicked man, could marvel at the young man and what made it so beautiful. You say, what was in his heart? It was faith. Faith. Then he so looked for the glory and for the honor of the Lord. And he so believed that the Lord was going to do something for his own honor. How beautiful. When we see Gideon going against the great enemy with nothing but lamps and pitchers in their hands. Oh, the Lord is glorified by men who believe. The Lord is glorified by men who take him at his own word. That is the function. That is the operation of true faith. It is beautiful. It is God glorifying, and not only God glorifying, but it is also to the welfare and to the comfort and to the encouragement of the souls of his own people. Faith in the strength of its exercises, that is beautiful to us, that is also beautiful to the Lord. And therefore, the Lord gives the means to strengthen the faith of his people. that it may operate, that it may function in the manner that he desires it to function, that is, to his glory and to their benefit. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 25, is concerning this strengthening of faith. And we see in the first place the institution of the holy sacraments. In questions 65 and 66, since then we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only. Whence doth this faith proceed? Answer, from the Holy Ghost, who works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel and confirms it by the use of the sacraments. Question and answer 66. What are the sacraments? The sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals appointed of God for this end, that by the use thereof he may more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel, namely, that he grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. That is the institution of the holy sacraments. Second, the correlation of word and sacraments. In question and answer 67, are both word and sacraments then ordained and appointed for this end, that they may direct our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? Yes, indeed. For the Holy Ghost teaches us in the gospel and assures us by the sacraments that the whole of our salvation depends upon that one sacrifice of Christ, which he offered for us on the cross. That is the correlation of word and sacraments. Finally, the number of the sacraments. How many sacraments has Christ instituted in the New Covenant or Testament? Answer 2. Holy baptism and the Holy Supper. Thus the strengthening of faith, because we have considered in the past many weeks faith and the many aspects of faith, and now about the strengthening of faith. First, the institution of the holy sacraments. Second, the correlation of word and sacraments. And third, the number of the sacraments. Since then we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only, whence doth this faith proceed? From the Holy Ghost, who works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel and confirms it by the use of the sacraments. So Arsenis, in his commentary, says that this question points out the connection between the doctrine of faith and the sacraments. So it is not here that he would explain how that faith is coming from the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Ghost is the author of faith. No, he says, because we have already spoken about that. When we spoke about faith and what is faith, and when we spoke about the Holy Ghost, that he is the cause of faith, that he is the one that is working faith. But now he says that he also does something else, that he confirms and he strengthens faith. Thus, that is another matter, a different matter. So we know there is, children, in God's word, we read about the creation, that God created the world. But he did not only create the world, he also upholds the world. That is, in the way of his providence. So the creation is one thing and providence is something else. That is how he cares for his creation. So all this is a testimony that the Lord does never forsake the work of his own hands, that he does not just leave his work go, and that the Lord is caring for the earth, and that the Lord is caring also for his own church in a special way. Now, faith is something that needs to be taken care of, like we take care of our sight, we take care of our eyes, and we take care of our hearing. If we cannot hear well, then we will go to the doctor and we will ask the doctor why that we cannot hear well and what can be done about this. And so we care for those organs of our body by which we are receiving the gifts of visible things and also the gifts of being able to hear the things that we receive, the sounds with our ears. We take care of these things. And now our fathers say we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only. So that is why the apostles said to the Lord Jesus, increase our faith. That is because they wanted to exercise faith in its strength. And if we know what it is to see well, and then we see dimly, then we say, I want to see well again, or to hear well again. And congregation, if we know for a moment, just a moment, what it is to let me say, believe well, if we can exercise that faith, and then we want to be able to do that again. Because you can imagine, if you could not see anymore, you say, all those blessings that I received by my eyes, they were precious. They were precious. To be able to see is a precious thing, right, children? And now if you may experience a little bit of the spiritual things that faith may receive, then you can understand how God's children, they say, oh, if I could only believe, if I could only believe. So that's not a strange request that those apostles has asked of the Lord Jesus, that he would increase that faith, that he would give to them to believe again, because there is nothing. And that God's children, they smite upon their own breast for, is their own wretched unbelief. That is the root of all of their perplexities and all of the anxieties that are living within their heart. And now our fathers speak about the means, that is the instruments by which the Spirit is working faith and he is strengthening faith. And then they are making here a distinction. They say it is worked by the preaching of the gospel. Well, it is worked by the Spirit, they say, first. But the Spirit is doing that, they say, by the preaching of the gospel. And so, congregation, do you miss it? Faith. Once again last week, there is a testimony, right? And the greatest part of us, we have to say, I miss it. I miss it. Is that then a burden to you? How did you go home? Has that had any weight in your life, in your heart, in the week that has gone by? That you say, I miss it. These are not the highest things. No, they are the things that are necessary.
They are necessary to live in comfort and to die in peace. We cannot appear before the Lord when we are outside of his only begotten Son by a true saving faith. Ah, do you miss it? And do you say the Lord has to give it? That's what our fathers say too, right? The Lord gives it. He is the one who is the author of it. Yes. But our fathers don't stop there. Our fathers say, how did he give it? He gives it, they say, by the preaching of the gospel. So what is that? That is through the institution of the holy ministry. That is by the preaching. That is by sermons. A sermon. So it's not just by a writing, no. But it is by the preaching. That is, oh, parents. How many sermons do you have in your house? You have them on your shelf. You have Philpott sermons. Have you read them? You have the Blue Book sermons. You have other sermons. And is that book worn? Has it been read by you? Because young people, we see it again. It is such a wonder. It is such a wonder, isn't it, that we do not have a funeral this week like the other congregations had to have. I still have those two pictures next to me at home. Those two boys. Can you imagine that we had to add William next to those two boys? All young people, you can die. Do you believe that? What do you need? You need faith. Not as the world says you need it. You need true saving faith. Ah, do not just say the Spirit must give it to me, because you are so right. And I hope you believe that too. But now, what are you doing with that thing that is in your hand always? What are you doing with it? I can tell you something good you can do with it. On that thing, you can hear sermons. You ever think about doing it with that? They're all just listed there. And you need to be careful who you are listening to, because they are not all good. You can receive so many different kinds of sermons. Then there must be a distinction. There must be a taking forth of the precious from the vile. Oh, then listen. Will you listen? Not just on the Sabbath day, but that your heart may be desirous not to read a novel. You cannot be converted by a novel. No, we are converted by sermons, by the preaching of the holy word of God. We hope soon to do house visitation. I think that is a good question for us, see? When we will go to see you, if you have read a sermon this week, if you have heard another one, if you are seeking, if you would flee from the wrath that is to come, it cannot stay this way. How did it has been? We have a soul, and we are going to eternity, and we are by nature lost, and there is life, congregation, there is life to be had. There is faith to be gotten. And the Lord gives us the means for this. The sacraments, they are not the means to get it. No, You did not get it by baptism when it was that water was placed upon your forehead, boys and girls. You didn't get it with that. You don't get it if you say, well, I want to get it and I come then to the Holy Supper of the Lord. No. That is not for receiving faith, but that is for the strengthening of faith. That is to strengthen the gift that God has given unto His church, that He may take care of that gift. A very, very important thing. So our fathers say, what are the sacraments? The sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals appointed of God for this end, that by the use thereof He may the more fully declare and seal unto us the promise of the gospel, namely that He grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. So our fathers say that the sacraments are two things. They are signs and seals. So we try to explain that for a moment. A sign. What is a sign? Here we're speaking about a representation. So something physical, something that you can look at. And when you look at that thing, it will bring something else, not that thing anymore. It will bring something else into your mind, a different idea it will bring into your mind. That is a representation of another thing. Thus, for example, the water, boys and girls, in baptism, that is representing the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the bread in the Holy Supper, that is representing the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not so hard to understand, right? And still, there is more than this, because we read here about a seal. So what is a seal? Well, sometimes a sign is just a sign. But one of the theologians which we have read have likened it to a handshake. So what does that mean? When we shake hands, you shake hands with someone, you say that is a sign of what? Well, maybe you say that is a sign of friendship. Yes, that is good. But take that handshake and put that into the circumstance wherein two people are covenanting together. So two people are making an agreement together. Now that handshake is much more than just a friendly gesture. Just a sign that we are friends. Because in the context of that covenanting, it is a confirmation of that covenant. Thus, it is sealing that covenant. That is, from two sides. So here, we are speaking about a covenant. That is the covenant of grace. And those signs are not just representing, but those signs are sealing something. Just like a handshake in the midst of a covenant. It is sealing the covenant of God. So God is pledging something when He gives to us those signs. He is sealing, He is confirming that He does give them unto His church. And at the same time, in the use of those signs, in the way of covenanting, then the church is also pledging something. Then that church pledges to obey. That church pledges to love him. That church pledges to serve him. There's all contained within that sign. And because it is partaking to, it is pertaining to a covenant, that sign is now sealing that covenant. So Paul calls circumcision the seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised. So Abraham had faith before he was circumcised. Circumcision did not give him faith. Circumcision was added by the Lord that he may confirm that faith. Thus, a sacrament has to have in the first place a sign. Because if there is no sign, then there is nothing that is representing something else. So that is in the first place. But now that sign cannot just be some arbitrary sign. Now, if we think about the children of Israel, and they crossed that Jordan, and they put those stones in that Jordan, say that was a sign. It was something that made them remember. But that sign, those stones, were no sacrament. And why were they not a sacrament? Because the signs in a sacrament cannot be just arbitrary. They cannot just be a sign that we have picked which has no meaning. It has to have what we call a natural analogy. An analogy is a likeness, so it has to be like unto something. And that has to be in a natural way. And now those stones in the Jordan, there was no analogy to anything that they have represented. So they were no sacramental sign. But now water, I think our children can understand that too. Water, there is a likeness, because what do we do with water? We wash. And if that is like the blood of Christ, then it means a washing. So you see, there is what we call an analogy. There is a likeness, and that is a very natural thing. So that is required in order for something to be a sacrament. Then that sign must have a natural analogy. But even this analogy is not enough to make something into a sacramental sign. What has there to be more? That has to be that it is a divine institution. In other words, that God himself is the one who must have instituted that sign to be a sign of that covenant that he has ordained. So without God himself saying that this is the sign, it is not possible for that sign to do anything to us. It is not possible for that sign to seal or confirm anything to us if it is not the Lord himself that has said unto us that I will confirm this to you by this particular sign. And thus, congregation, it is so necessary for us, in order for us to receive that sealing, that confirming power within our heart, that we are very well grounded in the institution of that sign, that we know how that the Lord himself has said it. And thus our fathers, when they will speak in the coming Lord's days about the particular sacraments, they are taking special pains. You can look those questions up beforehand. They are taking special pains to show unto us where do we find this sacrament instituted. Thus the institution is so necessary for us to know that it is truly from the Lord in order for us to receive the sealing power of that sacrament. We know that God, we need to know that God has intended this sign to be a confirmation of his covenant and to grant, as our fathers say, the free remission of sin and life eternal for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Then we need to know this from the Word of God. And we need to know that God attaches a promise to the sign that he is giving unto us. In other words, that God is making a pledge with that sign. Because we don't need to do this just in front of people, but we need to do this for our own soul, that we may receive something from this. Holy, visible signs and seals. Thus, they are water, bread, wine. You say, are they holy? Well, not in and of themselves, no. How are they holy? What does holy mean? That means they are set apart. Thus, also that heathen king, using the holy vessels from the Lord's house in Jerusalem, those vessels were made of gold. They were not in themselves any different than any other vessels, but they were consecrated. They were consecrated to a holy use. And so that is now also with the elements in baptism and in the Lord's Supper. They are set apart. And then these are not only confirmations of God, but they are also what is sometimes called a badge of profession. So they are marks that are belonging to the true church, and they are distinguishing the true church from the false church. Thus, in the right use of the holy sacraments, the true church is visibly distinguished from the kingdom of Antichrist. You put farmers, you put a brand on your cattle. And when you put a brand on your cattle, you say, that is mine. You own it. You can distinguish your cattle from the cattle of your neighbor. Those are the cattle you take care of. And when there is any dispute, then it is clear who is the owner of those cattle. And so the Lord also has these signs. These signs within his church, the right use of which are distinguishing the true church from the false church. And those signs are also means of instruction because they have a certain design. Right? The brand also on the cattle has a certain design. Well, a cattle cannot understand. You cannot teach him. But others may say, well, there's a meaning to that brand. Why that brand has a certain shape is saying something maybe about the owner of that cattle. And thus children, the sign that is on your forehead that has a certain shape, as it were, that has a certain meaning. It is done in a certain way, and that has instruction in it. And then your father and mother can speak to you and tell you why that it has that shape, why that it is water, and what that water means, and why that is done only one time, and so on. All the meaning, the blessed meaning that is coming out of these signs that are chosen by God. And then it is not only to that person who is branded, but it is also to the world, to everyone that is around, that the world may see and know what now is that true church of God. Let us sing. 65, 1 and 4. Grace and truth shall mark the way where the Lord his own will lead. If his word they still obey and his testimonies heed. And the fourth, 1 and 4 of 65. Strengthening of faith, first the institution of the sacrament, second the correlation of word and sacraments. Question and answer 67, are both word and sacraments then ordained and appointed for this end, that they may direct our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, as the only ground of salvation? Yes, indeed. For the Holy Ghost teaches us in the gospel and assures us by the sacraments that the whole of our salvation depends upon that one sacrifice of Christ which he offered for us on the cross. Thus, congregation, the sacraments, our fathers say, have much in common with what, children? The Word. That is the Word of God. That is, both of them are given by God. Both of them are administered by the servants of the Lord. But our fathers say both of them are ordained and appointed to the same end. They have the same purpose. To direct our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation. We would say that is the summary of the whole Bible. Just in one line. That is what we are taught in the Old Testament. That is what we are taught in the New Testament. That is one blessed doctrine of God. Substance, then, of the sacraments that is the same in the Old Testament as it is in the New Testament because it is one. Thus, the form of those sacraments is different. But the substance is the same. So there is one covenant that is under two testaments. So Paul goes to lengths in order to display this. We read opening and alleging that Jesus is the Christ. What does that mean? The Christ that was looked for in the Old Testament, and Jesus who has appeared in the New Testament, Paul says that these two are one, that Jesus is the Christ. He is that Christ that was promised to the church in the Old Testament. And then to the Corinthians, Paul writes, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Now, why did the Apostle Paul say this to the Corinthians? Well, he says, "But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." So Paul says, you see now what the children of Israel received, and they were all under the same sealing ordinances, and many of them perished. Many of them perished. So what is he saying? That was not enough. And he says, do not make the same errors as the people of the Lord made in that time, though you have all the blessings of the Lord, and then you are seeking all the lusts that are in this world. So that is what Paul wants to say. But as the Apostle Paul is saying this, then he necessarily makes an analogy, that is that likeness, and he is making a likeness between the Old Testament ordinances and the New Testament ordinances. So he refers to the passage through the sea, and he says, he calls it what? He calls it a baptism. He says they were all baptized unto Moses. He says that is like our baptism. And then he says, and they were eating the manna, and they were drinking the water that was from that rock that followed them. But he says they had a spiritual meaning. Thus, that passing through the sea was a practical thing, but it was more than a practical thing. The eating that manna from heaven, well, they needed that to live. And they needed water also from that rock that followed them, that water through the wilderness. They needed that to drink. But that was not just to keep them alive, no. But Paul says that had a spiritual meaning. They were physical things that had a spiritual meaning. He speaks about them eating that spiritual meat and drinking a spiritual drink. They were not formally the sacraments of the Old Testament, as the circumcision and the Passover were. But he says, as it were, they were virtual sacraments. They had a certain a sealing power in them. There was something that God was confirming to them that was more than just natural. That God was confirming to them something that was higher, that was spiritual. And then he compares them, you can read it again when you come home, he compares these to the New Testament sacraments. And then he says, you are under those sacraments. So now, be careful what you do. So he makes a very strong inference when he does this, that the Old Testament sacraments and the New Testament sacraments have exactly the same meaning. They are of the same substance. They are of the same essence. They are identical. It's very important that we know these things, because it is important to know that the things that pertain to the Old Testament sacraments pertain also in certain ways to the New Testament sacraments. And now this single meaning he further supports when Paul calls the Lord's Supper, that is the New Testament sacrament, he calls it by the name of the Passover. And he calls the New Testament baptism by the name of circumcision. So he says, these are ordinances with exactly the same matter, and they are, have the same matter as the Word. That is the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. It is the Old Testament sacraments that were declaring that same thing. The New Testament sacraments, they are, it is all, he says, one. And still he says that the sacraments have a certain difference with the Word. Why? Because the Word that is preached to everyone, but the sacraments are not for everyone. They are only for the true church. They are for God's people. You say baptism too? Yes. Yes. And we hope to speak more about that in the future, the Lord willing. We read that they are both, that the word of God has two purposes. That is both to give faith, the preaching, and also to strengthen faith. But that is not so of the sacraments. They are there only to strengthen faith. The Word of God may be preached all by itself without the sacraments. But the sacraments may never be without the Word. They are an addition. They are a confirmation of that Word. The Word of God, congregation, is necessary. We cannot do without it. But that is not true of the sacraments. No, the children of Israel went 40 years in the wilderness, and their circumstances did not permit them to be circumcised. But that did that was not against the word of the Lord. It is not to miss the sacraments, but it is to despise the sacraments. That is dangerous for us. But lastly, our fathers teach us also the number of the sacraments. How many sacraments has Christ instituted in the New Covenant or Testament? Two, the Holy Baptism and the Holy Supper. How do we know that? Well, that is easy now, right? Because now we know the definition of a sacrament. We know what a sacrament is. And so we say those are the only two ordinances in the New Testament that do comply with all the necessary things in that definition. They are the only two ordinances that have visible signs, that have a natural analogy to the spiritual matters, and that are given by the institution of God himself. The Roman Catholic Church adds five more. We're not going to go into all of them. That is confirmation, penance, ordination, extreme unction, and even marriage. But they can be shown and that they are not sacraments at all. No, baptism and the Holy Supper do replace then the Old Testament sacraments, that is of circumcision and the Passover that we hope to show in the weeks to come, the Lord willing. Congregation, these sacraments, they are given to the church. They are given to the church for the confirmation. That is the confirmation of faith. Thus, faith is presupposed always in the sacraments. Ah, these sacraments are a gift. They are a very precious gift. If something was questionable, especially a promise that you say for some reason that you doubt, and then someone confirms it, and you say that is a very, very important, a precious thing. And so that is what the sacraments are doing. They're establishing, they're confirming, they're comforting the true church of God. Thus the Lord is caring for each and every one of his church. And he has gifts. Say, children, tomorrow we hope to have Thanksgiving, and we have received so many gifts, right? And then we see those gifts of food and drink as very precious, and we hope to try to acknowledge the Lord for the gifts that he has given unto us. But do you know that that same God has other kinds of gifts? And those gifts are spiritual gifts. Do you ever think about that, children? About your soul, and about a God whom you cannot see? Those are spiritual things. And God is giving gifts, spiritual gifts to us. Cannot give them to the animals, because they have no soul. They have no intellect, no reason. They don't have a will. They don't have affections. That is a soul. And because of this, they are not able to receive those spiritual gifts. But now, that covenant of grace, that's what it is all about, right? That's not so easy to receive. Covenant of grace, not so easy to receive. Why not? Well, by nature. By nature, we don't have a desire for it. By nature, we do not seek it. And a minister can try to preach, but he cannot change your heart. Cannot make you love the Lord. Cannot make you desire something and that you do not desire. And not only so, but we are missing something by nature. We are missing the hand that can receive that gift, because they are spiritual gifts and they need to be received by faith. And by nature, we do not have faith, true faith. In regeneration, the Lord gives a man faith. And still, he doesn't see any preciousness in this gift. He doesn't see any preciousness in grace. In grace. Why not? What is standing in the way? You know what is standing in the way? The price. The price. Say, is the price too high? No. The price is too low. The price is too low. Because it is without money. And it's without price. But we don't want that. We don't want that. Even after received grace, we don't want it. Not in that way. Oh, what a miserable creature that we are. By our fall. And we don't believe that covenant, that first covenant, that is broken. Free. Free. And sovereign grace that is precious only to sinners who feel, who experience their poverty and their missing. Only unto them was it ever precious, congregation, unto you. And then that faith must continually, that is, every day again, be having to overcome the perception of their unworthiness. That is a great perception of those people. Their unworthiness. And then that faith that has to overcome this. That the Lord will give it to me, despite my unworthiness. It's not easy. That is what makes it so difficult to receive. And if faith is very small, it cannot see over this wall of unworthiness. The Lord knows it. The Lord knows it. And that he is providing for this to strengthen the faith of that people. What is more beautiful than a poor, guilty, filthy sinner drawing nigh unto God by Jesus Christ, his son, prodigal son. Beautiful parable, isn't it? Isn't that beautiful? What makes it so beautiful? Prodigal son, young people, will you think about that for a moment? Just come along with me for a moment here. Prodigal son. Say so, so beautiful. Why? Was it his misery? Say no. That is not very beautiful. Well, what beauty do you see? You see. You say, I see a young man. A young man who is weeping over his own life. You ever weep over your own life? Maybe you say already, that is beautiful to me. Do you say that? I hope you say that in your heart. Say, I'm jealous of that boy because I cannot weep. And that boy was weeping. But what is so now beautiful You say, well, that he got up. That he got up. And that he began to go back. So I think that is beautiful. That is beautiful. There is a beauty in that. What is so beautiful? He said, I believe, I think, I really think that if I will tell my Father that I'm sorry, that he will receive me back again. Is that not beautiful? What did that boy think of his father? Ah, he saw in his father something that was so to his father's glory within his own heart. He honored his father just with the thought that his father, if he said, I am not worthy, that I have sinned, that his father would forgive him. It tells you something about that father, doesn't it? Say, oh, is that not beautiful? Ah, what if that boy, he stayed in that pit. He said, it is lost. It's lost. There is no hope for me. Because my father will never forgive what I've done to him. And then you know the father that he was looking every day. Looking every day again. So that was not true then. Oh, congregation, when that boy got up, when that boy wept, that was faith. Was faith in his heart. And it was so to the honor and so to the glory of his Father. And that is now that faith. That is what that church now needs to do. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That is not once. That is not twice. But that is every day again. That church needs to go back with heart that is weeping. And now that going that is faith. And the Lord, he is so honored by it, because we read in heaven that there is joy. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Would the Lord not want them, that people, to be strengthened in that faith? Would he not want them that faith would be so strong that every day again they would come with weeping and supplication to his footstool, and that he may bestow upon them his free and his sovereign grace without money and without price. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it all belongs to thee to sanctify and to bless these few words. Oh, bring it in our hearts. Give us true saving faith. A tear to weep, Lord, when we cannot weep. When our heart is hard, oh, break it this day. Could it be in reflection and meditation in this afternoon hour on those spiritual gifts and blessings, that our hearts may go out to thee for them, for they are to be received from thee. for thy great name's honor and for the salvation and comfort of our souls. Humble us under thy goodness and thy help also in bringing this little portion. Lord, be with us when we depart from one another. Give us a desire and the ability to be together again on the day of tomorrow. Keep watch over and protect us. Give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 431, 4, 5, and 6. Open, saith the Lord, wide thy mouth, believing this my covenant word I will, if thou plead, fill thine every need, all thy wants relieving. 4, 5, and 6 of Psalter 431.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.